Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. This week, coming to you from the Friends with Friends petrol tanker. Unfortunately, it's stationary as the driver we employed did as some people told him and went back where he came from. I'm Pete Allison and here's Dave Cribb.
Hoi, hoi. Thank goodness we're finally attacking the news, eh?
Yeah.
The satirical content on this podcast.
Yeah.
You got any more on the old petrol crisis before we...
No. Given my line of work, that's about all I can say.
Oh, yeah, good, fair play. Well, we will endeavour to keep the fuel of entertainment burning in the tanker of podcasts.
All right. That's fine.
See? Yeah. Oh, God, so slick. Are you
oil
well?
Oil slick.
Yeah. Oil slick, good. Yeah. Very good. Oh, well done. That was worth it.
Now I'm just saying things. I'm fine, thanks. See you.
Yes, I'm fine, actually, yeah. Surprisingly chirpy for a Monday.
Me too.
I think we're in chirpsy moods. Yeah. How did you enjoy watching this week's episode of Fry Ends?
I mean, initially I was a bit concerned because it features both Emily and Joshua.
Right.
The sort of axis of evil of Friends, but it was fine. I had a nice time.
A lot to dig into there, but also Charlton Heston. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, Charlton Heston and Joshua were both in the animated Disney film Hercules. That's a good fun fact, isn't it? So this is their big reunion.
I don't think I could tell you any films that Charlton Heston's been in.
Planet of the Apes?
Well, the originals.
Yeah.
Was he a monkey?
No, I think he was the man, you know, in the... Do you know what? I haven't actually seen any of the Planet of the Apes films.
The modern ones are good.
Are they?
Yeah.
Never seen any of them.
I went to see the Tim Burton one, but my dad had an argument with a cinema employee, and that kind of tarnished it a little bit.
Oh, really? What was the argument about?
Can't remember, it was a long time ago.
Let's just crack on with the old Friends the Television Series, as we discovered it's now officially called.
Who requested it, Dave?
It's Mari, Peter.
Hello, Mari.
Hello, good morning to you. It doesn't quite work, does it, no? Would you like the request read out to you by my voice?
Very much so.
Into your ears? Hello, my name's Mari, and I've recently discovered Fwoof, and I love it. Oh, that's nice, thank you.
I mean, she says recently...
Yeah. Oh, well, this was, yes. How's the request backup system going? When was this requested, Pete?
Not too bad. April. Late April.
Sort of early last year was a shortage of requests, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And everyone panic bought requests of Friends with Friends.
And
now we're really seeing that come to light.
No, do you know what? The panic was at the start of May when we made the mistake of asking for requests. And, oh, my goodness, the forecourt was chaos.
And we can't now say... We've got enough, guys. No need to panic request, because we know what that leads to.
Yeah, just more fucking requests.
More requests. Absolutely.
Context, by the way, in case this news story hasn't reached other parts of the world,
and we know that
we have a lot of listeners around the world, the UK shit itself again. And it's not that no one can get any petrol. There's no fuel shortage. It's just that everyone's buying the existing supplies of fuel when they don't necessarily require it.
Yes.
So it shit itself. Anyway, carry on.
We've absolutely completely bollocked it up, haven't we? But that's fine.
Yeah.
Recently discovered Fwoof, and I love it. That's very kind. I think I'm a very rare listener. Hang on.
Well, just full stop.
I think I'm a rare listener. Yeah, exactly.
Hello to all three of you.
I think I'm a rare listener who remembers when Friends first aired on Channel 4 in 1994, and I was 17. I wonder if you could talk about the one with Joey's dirty day. There are some bits that make me belly laugh, especially Ross. The look on his face when Rachel asks him to go to the opera with Emily. Yeah, that is good, actually. That's what makes this, for me, a classic. Thank you so much for the show. Get me through working at home. Wish I discovered you sooner.
Oh, well, you're here now.
Yeah, you're here now. Oh, and if you discovered us sooner, you just have to wait longer for the request, to be fair. So I wouldn't worry about it.
That's true.
It's all in good time. But thank you so much. Shall I do a little synopsis, Peter?
Yeah, why not?
Friends, season 4, episode 14, production code 466614.
No, I quite like that one.
Another 666. Yeah, a bit devil-y, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't want to get too excited, Pete, but guess who directed it?
Len Beck?
No, Bonas. Peter Bonas directed this one. I feel like maybe we haven't talked about Peter Bonas for quite a long time, but he was a very...
Have we lost our... No, I'm not going there.
Oh, no, Peter, come on. Don't need any of this lewd talk from you on a Monday afternoon/Tuesday/Wednesday, whenever you're listening. It's a long one. So whoever's written this Wikipedia synopsis has gone a bit mad.
I reckon you can boil it down.
Okay, I'll read every other word, okay? Chandler depressed, his breakup Kathy, leading girls intervening, help latter. One of plans, Chandler strip. However, plan backfires, girls sideline. With no other... Oh my God, it's so long. I can't do that. It's too confusing. Chandler's depressed. They take him to a strip club. They backfires. With no other options, Rachel asks for Ross's help after she accidentally becomes double booked with Joshua and her boss. Honestly, this is so long. And I thought that's it. And then meanwhile, Joey arrives home with an unpleasant odour. Yeah, Joey smells after fishing. Oversleeps. Doesn't shower. The end. Fine. Charlton Heston. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That was very much a stream of consciousness.
CH. Yeah, it was. Yeah, honestly, I missed the word chagrin out because it was...
Wow, how did that fit?
Much to Ross's chagrin, he agrees to meet.
Chagrin?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard that word before. How's it spelled?
Chagrin.
What, chagrin. C-H-A-G?
Yeah, so there you go. There's your synopsis. Happy days. Where do you want to start? Well, should we start with the main title plot, because very little happens, doesn't it? It's just Joey's smell is actually a very small part of this episode.
By the way, since when's Joey been so into fishing that he owns his own equipment?
Oh, I know, right? I know. Like,
who owns a fishing rod unless you're a regular fisherman? Or fisherwoman?
Yes, fisher person.
Fisher.
Also, he knows a lot about fishing, doesn't he? Which hasn't really come up much before.
Are those words he says, maybe?
Right, exactly my question. Googly worm and glow pop jiggly jammy. I've briefly Googled it earlier. There's a lot of references to it on the internet, but I can't tell whether they're just all from Friends, you know? Surely it's not real, right?
Well, it sounds like bollocks. No actual serious fisher person is going to go into a tackle shop, as I believe they're called, and ask for one of the... That just doesn't happen.
Surely not. I bet... I was going to say, I wonder if this podcast has any keen fishers listening to it.
Have you ever been... I bet you've been fishing.
Would you? How much would you like to bet?
A whole pound.
A pound. You owe me a pound. I have never been
have
fishing.
Have you not?
Never. No. No. I do not see the appeal of it. For two reasons. One, I definitely wouldn't be like the sort of fisher person that catches a fish and eats it, because I'd find that too traumatising, you know?
No, you just let an industry do that on a mass scale instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as long as I can't see it, Pete, it's fine. Yeah, I'm the most noble of all meat eaters. Now, to be fair, actually, on that subject, yesterday, went for Sunday roast, ordered the bloody vegan option, didn't I?
Did you?
At the pub, yeah. I've been heavily cutting back on my meat consumption. Don't want to brag or feel like I'm some sort of better, superior person here.
Because everyone knows that's not true.
They do a hot dog when I was drunk the night before, but never mind. Hey, like,
hot dog? Where did you get a hot dog when you were drunk? Do you remember the student club in Nottingham that used to serve hot dogs in the club?
Yes, in the club, yes.
Yeah.
I love a hot dog. And I'll take the very short version of the story is I was at an event at the O2. And they sold, you know, words, Dave. They sell hot dogs.
Right.
And I was so annoyed that a hot dog cost £9.50.
£9.50
that I didn't buy one. But then I got so hungry that I went at the end to buy one and they just closed the stuff and I was really annoyed. Anyway, I was just really annoyed. So to sum up, what I did was went to Sainsbury's on my way home and bought some Frankfurters and made my own hot dog for about £2.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's not a great story, but it's
quite a suspicious meat, hot dog meat, isn't it?
Well, it's just the rest of the meat, isn't it?
Generic meat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we're concluding that gliggly worms and glow pop jiggly jammers aren't real.
Yeah, I think that's
but
fair.
If you do fish and you're a listener to this podcast, I imagine a fairly small Venn diagram crossover, but you never like to rule these things out.
Can we have a moment for how Joey smells because he fell in a tub of worms?
Yeah. Yeah, the big tub of worms. Like a human-sized tub of worms.
Like that must be like a vat of worms.
Yeah, like one of those big barrels, you know?
Yeah.
That's horrible, isn't it? I cannot think of anything worse than falling into a big tub of worms.
If you'd fallen in a tub of worms,
yeah,
you'd shower the moment you got home.
Well,
you wouldn't go to bed. Because he's like, oh, I've got an early start, so I've got to go to bed. Well, no, nope. You smell like worms, mate. Have a shower.
If it's those worms that you fish with, they're tiny little worms. Like, they'd definitely still be... You know, like on I'm a Celebrity, and you see them do the challenges with like the tiny, tiny bugs, and then yeah. They get them out. And they sort of hose them down a bit. But you can still tell there's little bugs somewhere under their clothes. You know, they've not got rid of them all. Yeah. That'd be the same with the worms, wouldn't
he
it?
He was drenched in worms.
Yes, you wouldn't want to get worms in your bed. Oh, Joey, you're better than that. They've made Joey up to look very smelly, haven't they?
Yeah, he does. He's got sort of sweaty hair, hasn't he?
Yeah, it is. You can sort of almost see the smell, you know, as a viewer. But I don't think I've ever met anyone that smelled that much that it would be so overpowering that I'd have to get up out of a chair. I don't know. Have you come across a human that smells that bad?
Would you like me to name the smelliest people in my
name
life?
Your smelliest human with Pete Allison. Yeah. Smelliest friends with friends.
I don't actually. Thankfully, I don't know anyone who smells. It's quite hard to smell because, like, most people's general daily routines involve washing.
Yes.
I would hope.
Yeah.
And only in rare circumstances, like when you've fallen in a vat of worms and been fishing for 3 days, would you smell.
Well, even when you do smell, and like sometimes I won't have a shower on a given day for whatever reason, but the next day I'll have a shower anyway. But even at my smelliest, you've still got to be fairly close to someone to really get the whiff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's a proximity thing. It's a weird title, actually, when you think about it, isn't it? Joey's Dirty Day.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be sex-related.
Well, I think I have a sort of memory of, you know, I've watched Friends all once when it was on telly, and then looking back at the episode titles when I got the videos or whatever and going, what is the one with Joey's Dirty Day? Because that does sound like a porn thing, doesn't it, basically?
You could just go for the one where Joey smells.
Well, yeah, the one where Joey stinks.
Mm.
Very odd, isn't it? And it's like, it's not a dirty day, is it? He's been fishing for 3 days. It's a dirty weekend, if anything. Yeah. But I guess that's an even worse title.
that definitely sounds sex-related.
He sleeps in, presumably, in a bed of worms. Goes to set and then discovers that... Now, what I would suggest is that a budget of a film that allows you to hire Charlton Heston certainly would be able to afford more than one shower on the entire studio.
That is true, yeah.
He's the only one with a shower. So it's just Charlton Heston and loads of extras, basically. But, like, I don't think there's ever been a facility that only had one shower in the entire thing, you know? Either there's no showers or there's loads of showers.
We, at the most recent Friends of Friends live show, had a shower in the room that we were given.
We did. We had a shower in our dressing room. We were as important to that day as Charlton Heston was to this movie.
Yeah. And we stunk the whole place.
Stunk it to high heaven. Joey goes for a shower, doesn't he? Charlton Heston busts him in the shower. It's a strange little cameo, isn't it, this one? Like, it's a sort of rare Friends cameo where it's literally just about four lines and then away they go.
Put some pants on, kid, so I can kick your butt.
Yeah. Did you notice when he pulls the shower curtain back? It's a really weird moment where Charlton Heston, like, looks Joey up and down, but not like briefly. He sort of really looks down.
That's because he's got silly putty on his penis.
Yeah, lingers on the old crotchal area a bit too much, I would suggest. I mean, he's definitely wearing pants is what he's wearing, because when Joey puts a towel on, you can see his underwear underneath. So maybe that's what Charlton Heston was doing. Maybe he's such a method.
Like, why are you wearing pants in the shower?
You're wearing underwear, you absolute madman. I imagine they're probably swimming shorts of some sort. But but Charlton Heston reprimands him and says, bugger off, basically. The end. Chandler or Rachel?
Do you know what? I've got very few notes on Chandler.
Yeah, again. The majority of the episode is very Rachel, Joshua, Emily Ross, isn't it?
And my first note on Chandler is, can't be arsed with mopey Chandler.
Yeah, I've put, Jesus, man, stop being such a downer.
Because, right, this is quite a hard sort of distinction to articulate, right? That's very much what I'm here for, so I'll try
it. Please do.
The way that Chandler reacts to this breakup he's not, like, upset. He's just, like, angry and sort of pitying himself, but not, like, sad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no point at which he sort of goes, God, I just miss her so much.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's just, everything's shit. Yeah. It's like an angry kind of breakup.
Yeah, it's like, why do I have to be single, for fuck's sake, basically. And then she's cheated on him, and there's like a lingering anger there because of that. But it doesn't seem like he misses Kathy that much.
Yeah, it's just he's sort of angry that it happened.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? The whole first half of this ep is basically just him being a little winester, basically, isn't it? And then he hits phase two and he wants to go to a strip club, but the guys are busy, Joey's being smelly, and Ross is off with Emily, which we'll come on to after the break. So he takes the girls to a strip club. Funny premise, but then they all sort of treat it more like a sort of arts and crafts afternoon, don't they?
I find the idea of a lap dance completely mortifying.
Really?
Like, regardless of gender, I don't think I'd ever want one.
Yeah, I've had one.
No.
No.
Have you?
Yeah, I've had a couple.
Have you? From a man or a woman?
From a woman.
Right.
Both times has been like on a thing where someone's gone, oh, we'll buy you one. You're like, oh, it is. Like, I don't think anyone's, well, maybe it's not true. Maybe there are certain people that go, oh, God, wait till I lap dance tonight. But I think the majority of people that have a one-off one are people that go in and then someone goes, go on, yeah, oh, we'll sort it. There you go. You got to sort of have it now. And that's what happened to me both times.
Are you still in touch?
With the strippers?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Although, actually, the last time I did go to a strip club, I think I've only ever been to two strip clubs. One in Wales and one in New Orleans. Never England. Keep it away from home. But when I was in one in Cardiff, because my mates worked there, one of the strippers
dancers?
Was... No, it was like the bar manager or something. It was one of those things where it's like, oh, we get free drinks in here. Everyone's like, oh, God. But one of the dancers was off of Love Island, about season two or something.
Oh, really?
I had no idea who she was, but she was very much the celebrity of that gentleman's club.
Just to be completely clear, this is not me being snidey about people who are, you know, like strippers and dancers for a living.
No.
Absolutely crack on. I just mean that I personally, given my insecurity and embarrassment, would feel very uncomfortable receiving such a dance.
No, 100%. I totally know what you mean. And the awkwardness surrounding it, either side of the actual dance, is weird. Like, it's like in Friends. In this episode, Monica, I think, pays for a lap dance and the girl just comes and starts dancing on Chandler.
Yeah.
Do you mean like there's no like conversation or anything? But that's not really how it happens. They sort of like take you to a seat and it's sort of like, how are you doing? How's your
very evening? Transactional.
Yeah, it's very they're sort of like, oh, here's how much it is and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, this is so weird.
How much is a lap dance?
20 quid-ish? Something like that?
20?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, give or take.
I was trying to think in my head, what's the sort of acceptable rate for a lap dance?
I think about 20 quid.
How long does it last?
3 minutes. It's like short, you know?
Right. I think 3 minutes is quite long to be received.
I'm just thinking in terms of like an hourly rate.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're working consistently over the hour, you can really bring in the, you know, it's cash in hand as well, isn't it?
I just think for a whole Do you reckon they have card machines now?
Yeah, they absolutely do. They absolutely
we're
do.
We're cashless now.
Yeah.
Final thing that I have about Chandler's involvement in this episode is the very odd dream bit at the end.
Oh, so bizarre, isn't it? So the man from the strip club, the big bald man that's smoking near Phoebe, and has actually one of the best lines of the episode, is when Phoebe sort of says, can you not smoke here? And he says, well, maybe you and your baby should go to another strip club. And he comes in and pretends to be Joshua. It's basically a weird orgy dream sequence, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And it's very unfriends as well, because it feels very real. And we know it's a dream sequence because Chandler's talking about waking up and stuff, but actually, it's not. It feels very just...
Well, we don't immediately know that it's exactly. a dream, because there is one point where we do think he's just got loads of strippers over.
Yes. Yes, exactly that. And his friends. There's like the theme throughout this plotline as well, isn't there, of Chandler's sort of strange, inappropriate friendship vibes.
Yeah.
Basically sort of picturing his female friends naked. That's how he gets over. Especially how he gets over Kathy, imagining his three female friends having sex with other girls.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nuts. And he actually says the line, this is probably one of the only times they've ever been said, he says, I just want to have sex with strippers and my friends. I do enjoy the bit in the strip club as well, where they're trying to convince Chandler to have fun. He's like, I'm just going to go home, get drunk and call Kathy. And Phoebe's like, oh, you should. That's if you know, if you want to. And he goes, no, that was a test. You know, I'm going to get drunk and then I'm going to call Janice. And Phoebe goes, you should. How is she?
Yeah, that is good. Phoebe's good in this episode.
She's
actually
really good, because she's obviously sober because she's pregnant and she's in the strip club, but she's really just, she's not, she doesn't get it in a really endearing way, you know? And then the only other thing to note I'd say about this is that when Joey sulks because he wasn't invited to the strip club, Chandler basically makes a promise that he will get to come next. You know, there'll be plenty of other girls that break my heart or whatever he says. And then we can get to the strip club next time together, which sort of puts Joey's mind at ease, but never happens again.
That's true.
This is Chandler's last heartbreak. His next girlfriend is Monica.
That's nice.
So he's made a promise he cannot keep there to his friend Joey about going to strip clubs. Ads?
Yeah, so have some ads.
My name's Jason Fleming. The More Than My Past podcast will see me talking to a wide range of inspiring people. People who have confronted and overcome addiction or imprisonment or both and turned their lives around.
I did mad things that was hurting myself and hurting other people.
Everybody grows up in a house called normal. Heroin addiction and chaos was my normal.
Some people don't understand the word moderation, and I was definitely one of those people.
The More Than My Past podcast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, we talked earlier about Charlton Heston eyeing up Joey when he pulled the shower curtain back. There's a similar sequence of professional inappropriateness with Rachel and Joshua, isn't there? Because she's just drooling over his ass. That's basically how this scene starts.
Joshua is not sexy.
No.
Hang on, I feel like this is this week's little Instagram
is Joshua Sexy.
Forum is Joshua Sexy.
Well, they had just broken up, had they, I think, around this time?
Which would explain the lack of sexual chemistry.
Aniston and Donovan, yeah, exactly. For my money, he's certainly not a charismatic man, is he?
Well, no. It's just a bit of a...
Bit of a big dull buff.
Can't choose his own fashion, can't dress himself.
Personal shopping is mad, isn't it? Like, being that rich to be able to throw that much money at somebody else dressing you, basically.
If you are like attempting to completely restyle yourself,
yes,
then I get it.
Yeah.
But if you have just had all your clothes thrown out by your wife and you or ex-wife and want to buy really boring clothes to replace them, you kind of don't need a personal shopper, mate.
Well, that's what I mean. He basically, when he first goes to it, doesn't he? He just goes, I need like 10 suits. It's
yeah.
Like, just pick 10 suits, mate. There's only about 40 suits in the world. Like, they're all just a bit different, aren't they? Go for that.
So
like that one?
Rachel really punching below her weight to be completely infatuated with him.
Yes, absolutely. But also acting quite unprofessionally all the way through. She can't get it out of her head, the sort of romantic potential element of this, even though he's not really shown her any signs of it at all yet. You know, she's sort of drooling over him. And then that bit where he holds his hands out for the gloves and she holds his hands.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's not professional, is it?
By the way, you know when he invites her to this club that he's somehow invested in?
How is he involved in a nightclub?
Exactly. Doesn't seem like the kind of guy. But he jokes about it being a hardcore S&M club, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Which, that's a bondage joke.
Yes, it is.
And that joke probably went over my head until I grew up a little bit.
I saw a meme going around this week, which you may or may not have seen, about a kid whose parents were trying to teach him the sticks and stones may break my bones thing. Did you see this?
No, I haven't seen the meme.
It's basically a kid that had like been bullied at school a bit, and his parents had said, it's probably not true, but it was, you know, his parents were going, what's the rhyme? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... And then the kid...
Chains and whips excite
me. Chains and whips excite me, yeah. But there will be a whole generation where that's the only... That's the only version of it that they've heard.
Yeah, what a powerful legacy Rihanna has.
She really does. But yeah, it's strange that he sort of pops a bit of a bondage out of his absolutely beige personality, isn't it?
Yeah, he does not strike you as someone who'd make a bondage joke.
I'll tell you what's also strange is that in the last episode before this, he's said goodbye to Rachel. Why is he back? This is the one before this is where he goes, oh, that's me done. I'll be back in the spring maybe, you know, and you can fit me some bathing suits. And then that's the whole, I've got two tickets to the Knicks or whatever it is, and she doesn't say I've got an extra ticket.
Well, I suppose eventually we learn it's because he likes her, right?
The end of the last one was her finding the driver's licenses, and so presumably that the natural thing would have been for her to call him and be like, let me give you your wallet back, but nope, just comes in for some gloves. Sure. Anyway, meanwhile, Rachel's implausibly British boss is trying to get her to go to the opera with Emily.
Love the way he says deflator mouse.
Deflator mouse.
Deflator mouse.
Deflator mouse. Yes, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be... Have we had that in a quiz yet? That's going to be a question in a quiz soon, I'm sure. NB, quiz friends. The next one's on November the 17th, by the way. Just FYI, tickets on our Instagram.
Is it at the Old Queen's Head?
It's at the Old Queen's Head, mate.
Can I get tickets by going on the FWF Pod Instagram, following the link in our bio?
Absolutely you can, Peter. Anyway, she agrees to that. She immediately regrets it because she wants to go to Joshua's vanilla S&M club. And then she basically, this is what Mari was saying, isn't it? She has to go. She basically goes around everybody. Phoebe and Monica can't, sorry, for various reasons. Joey's away, you know. Chandler's being awful and mopey. And that moment where she sort of turns to Ross and goes, and his reaction is wonderful. And this is a strange, strange little setup of a narrative, really, isn't it? Because Rachel gets her just desserts, basically, in the end, by having a terrible time with Joshua, or without Joshua, while Ross suddenly finds a new girlfriend.
And her horror when she realises that she's led Ross to someone he's romantically interested in is great as well.
Yeah, but that's just the only way that was going to work out, when she was basically selfishly going, can you, my ex-boyfriend, facilitate it so I can basically go and try and bang someone else in a club?
Did you Google a wiener car, by the way?
No, I didn't. But what is a wiener car?
So Emily comes in and she's all flustered because she's had a bad day.
Yeah.
And she says that she nearly got hit by one of your wiener cars.
Is it one of those hot dog, like the car with the hot dog thing?
Car shaped like a hot dog.
Yeah.
it's known as the Wienermobile.
Oh, yeah.
And it refers to a fleet, not just one, a fleet of motor vehicles shaped like a hot dog on a bun, which were used to promote and advertise Oscar Mayer products in the United
Oscar
States.
Oscar Mayer wieners, yeah.
the drivers were known as, try and guess this. Shout out to hot dogs on this episode.
Oh, yeah, to be fair. Yeah, the drivers were known as... I don't know. Go on.
Hot doggers.
Hot doggers.
Hot doggers often hand out toy whistles called
wiener whistles.
Yes.
Is it actually?
Which are shaped like?
I mean, tall dogs.
Like a wiener.
Oh my goodness. Honestly, guys, and I know a lot of you are very proud of your country. I'm talking to you, American listeners. But when you look from the outside like this, it is mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of madness in your place. I don't know. We're not one to talk as mad little old empire lot, but...
On the Wienermobile Wikipedia page, there is a whole section dedicated to notable incidents.
Of sort of people getting run over by them.
In 2009, a Wienermobile on a cul-de-sac in Wisconsin was attempting to turn around in a residential driveway. The driver accidentally accelerated forward while thinking the vehicle was in reverse, which lodged the Wienermobile under a house and destroyed its deck.
Oh my God, how did your deck destroyed? By a giant hot dog.
And then it adds the great detail of, the hot dogger was issued a warning.
So they are a dangerous car, clearly.
Yeah.
If you were going to get mildly clipped by something so you weren't very seriously injured, for the story, you'd rather it was a Wienermobile than a regular mobile.
Yeah, you'll never guess what I got hit by.
Yeah, exactly. So Emily's been nearly run over by a Wienermobile. To be fair, right, so I know we give Emily a lot of shit on this podcast, and she is not a great character. But they didn't give her much to play with, did they? The poor character never stood a chance with this introduction. Like, drenched hair and doing this awful sort of British... Of course, you know, and how she reacts before anyone's even said anything. To just be like, well, I'm such a pompous Brit and this is absolutely what I expected. And it's just... They've really set her up for a fall, haven't they, here?
Yeah, that's fair.
It's impressive they actually managed to pull her round to be... quite a likable character until
briefly,
later on, you know. But yeah, they've really given her a hospital pass there, I would have thought. But anyway, Rachel does guilt trip Ross eventually into taking Emily. Apparently, they get on so well, and this is a friend's timeline conundrum here. They get on so well that not only do they go to the opera, which presumably finishes around 11 p.m. like a normal opera. They then drive to Vermont after the opera?
Yeah.
Like, good few hours up to Vermont after the opera to find an Airbnb? Is this the day after or is this 2 days? Like, what's happened here?
Arrive in the middle of the night and then go see a deer. Is it a deer that's eating apples in the orchard?
Deer's eating apples in the orchard, yeah. I don't understand. It's got to be a very, very good date to basically have your first weekend break immediately after it, hasn't it? But it does give us an insight into that. Sort of how much Ross fell for Emily very quickly, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
That does explain there why he proposed to her after 9 seconds, because after 3 seconds they're in Vermont watching a deer eating apples from the orchard, you know? Meanwhile, Rachel has a terrible night at the club.
Punches a woman in the face.
Because?
Stole her umbrella.
So is your wife taking an umbrella to a club?
Yeah.
So, I mean, presumably this is quite a cool new club in New York that's having its big opening party, and there's Rachel rocking up with a big umbrella.
Do you reckon it was a leather umbrella for the bondage party?
Maybe it was, Peter. Maybe it was. Maybe it was a Rihanna-themed party. Yeah. Going straight from S&M to umbrellas.
Umbrellas and whips excitement.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other notable line for me in this plot line is the R. Phoebes beer.
Yes.
R. Phoebes. That's short for Phoebe. I just thought that's what they called each other. Very funny. I'll tell you what, overall, my takeaway from this episode is you've got a feel for Monica and Phoebe. Chandler's being a downer. Rachel's being really whiny about Joshua all the way through. They're really coping with a lot of crap, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true.
And they hold up well. And like you say, Phoebe has a good ep, but I think Monica has a good ep in this as well, really. Like, she's just playing the good friend. She's excited for Ross when he's in Vermont. She's not all like, what the hell are you doing? That's weird.
Basically, to conclude, good ep.
Good ep. Oh, good ep. V enjoyable. Would you like, Peter, a quiz about the ep we just talked about?
Yeah, let's go for a quiz.
As is tradition.
Welcome back, Amy.
Welcome back, Amy. After a incident that was described by a number of people as a shambles last week, Pete.
Yeah, which was all our fault because we should not be leaving it to Amy. But
yeah, she was moving house and she was very, very apologetic. But she's back on the quiz train.
Yeah.
Train.
All no. Aboard.
She did ask, have any of the other Amys tried to usurp me in my week while I was away? And in fairness to them, they haven't. So there's a good sort of sisterhood of Amys going on here.
Respectful, yeah. Question one, Dave.
Yep.
Name two of Joey's fishing bait thingies.
Oh, I've already deleted them from my notes.
Googly worm.
Googly worm and a glow pop jiggly jammer.
Is correct.
Yes.
Question two.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the episode, how long has it been since Chandler broke up with Kathy?
Ooh, I didn't clock this, did you?
Isn't there a reference to how long he's been... I think it's 2 days.
Oh, he's been sitting in the chair for 2 days? Yeah, I guess so. 2 days. That's
correct. It's correct.
Well done, mate.
Question three. Which airport was Emily strip searched at?
JFK.
Is correct. Well done.
Before she got hit by a wiener car.
Question four. What time does Chandler decide he wants to go to a strip club?
Oh, it's referenced very... It's like very early
weirdly
in the morning,
early.
Isn't it? Is that 9 a.m, is it?
Incorrect.
Oh. What is it?
9:30.
Ah, oh, make me a liar for half an hour.
And which... there's sort of three answers to this, Dave.
Oh, I like it.
It's a three-part one. Which stripper did each of the female friends say they liked the most?
Oh, I can tell you that one is Chantal.
Yeah, but who's?
Rachel, I think.
Rachel's is Chantal. I don't know either.
I did clock this, actually, because I was sort of thinking this is the sort of detail. Michelle?
Is whose?
I don't know. Is there a Michelle, though?
Michelle is correct.
I'm happy with that, too. I'm having a point for that. I don't know the other one. What's the other one?
Candy.
No.
Monica's is Michelle and Phoebe's is Candy.
Fine. Well done. Good quiz. Thanks, Amy. Back to form of doing a quiz.
Would you like to know
yes.
what next week's episode is?
Yes.
It's the one with the list, season 2, episode 8.
Ooh.
Is this the one? Is that the one where Ross makes the list about Rachel's yes. qualities and what he considers
absolutely
to be her flaws?
Absolutely is. It involves one of my favourite bits of dialogue in all of Friends. I'm going
to
leave that as a little teaser.
No,
I'll tell you next week.
Goodbye and may your petrol tanks be full. But only if they need to be.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right.
The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.